Dora, He-Man's twin sister and defender of the Crystal Castle. This is Spirit, my beloved steed. Fabulous secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, "For the honor of Grayskull!" A few others share this secret. Among them are Lightfoot, Madam Raz, and Cowl. Together, we and my friends of the Great Rebellion strive to free Etheria from the evil forces of Horda!
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 53rd chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey, as always, into the Masters of the Universe franchise is TFG and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
And it's 2016.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
How fast time goes.
Yep.
So are you ready for more Mists of Etheria now that we've turned the calendar to 2016? Are you still wanting to get into some Etherian legends here?
Yeah, I mean, so far, I don't know what it was. We're, 18 episodes into the series out of 93?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is about this series, but this series now is almost, I can't wait until we do, because I assume, and I know you probably haven't planned this far ahead, but I assume when we do the full-on episode 125, the full-on overall recap of the entire podcast series here.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you're going to have us rank the four different cartoons overall as a rating. And right now, She-Ra's beating out Filmation He-Man for me. Like, this is so much more enjoyable. And I think it's because He-Man went on too long. 130 episodes, just way too many.
Yeah, I can see that in a way.
So, but yeah, no, I'm digging it. I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. Well, in this episode of Mists of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 19, Enchanted Castle, episode 20, Three Courageous Hearts, and episode 21, The Stone in the Sword. Yes, I said that properly. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
Mysticor was freed from an evil power.
An evil power?
Well, it all started when Spirit and I were riding down a country road. I was on my way back to Whispering Woods when I heard the most beautiful music. It's Bo. I should have known. Uh-oh. Hordesmen. We'd better see what they're up to.
You sure that's him?
Yeah. They say one of the rebels plays music. It must be him.
Then let's grab him. Hordak will be pleased. Besides, I hate music.
Me too.
You know, Spirit, it's too nice a day to let Hordak's henchmen ruin it for Bo. Maybe we should teach them a little music appreciation.
I'd love to teach them a lesson they won't forget.
For the honor of Grayskull!
Waiting for.
Come on, let's get him now.
Sorry, fellas, but your little performance has just been canceled.
It's She-Ra!
Where are you taking us?
Since your feeling about music seems pretty narrow, I thought I'd give you a broader look at the world. Kind of a bird's eye view.
Don't drop us!
I'll try not to. Everybody off!
First up today is episode 19, Enchanted Castle, air date of October 2nd, 1985, written by Lee Fraser and Linda Uro. Robert Lamb helped with the teleplay. Adora tells the story of the time Mysticora was ruled by an evil queen named Mortella. She ruled the kingdom in terror and had captured Adora and Bo, who were then freed by an old woman. As Mortella fell from her throne, it was revealed that the old woman was actually Castispella, Mysticora's true queen, who had been put under a terrible curse by Mortella. We had Tongue Lasher and Ratlore make an appearance. We had She-Ra, Castispella, Bo, Cowl, and Spirit. And then, of course, we had Mortella and the Magic Knights. So what did you think about the whole, the background or the origin story of Mysticora and the ruler there?
I like it. I think it's interesting. I think what's more interesting about this episode is the story device of how the story is told. My only question about that is that when they cut back and forth between the story events and Adora and Cowl, they're supposed to be in this grand hall. They're supposed to be having this party at Castle Mysticora or whatever. You mean to tell me no one can hear Adora say that she is She-Ra, or hear Cowl say that she, like, it's just a little thing. I'm not going to take anything off for it, but it just seems weird to me that even though I enjoy the storytelling device they're using, it just seems weird that they're even using it, because it seems like someone would overhear her say that, oh, well, when Bo and I got captured and I had to become She-Ra, and blah, it just seems somebody would find out the secret.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. And I think too, I don't know, it was weird because we got the whole introduction of all the people there sitting around the tables and whatnot, and I was expecting something else, and then we get kind of a flashback episode, and I wasn't expecting that. I am glad that I didn't read the plot synopsis for this though, because I had no idea that the old lady was Castispella.
I didn't either.
So when I watched it and all of a sudden that happened, it was actually something that, and that doesn't usually happen, but I was actually shocked. I was like, whoa. I was like, what? I was expecting it to be somebody, but I wasn't expecting it to be Castispella. So that was cool because they did kind of different voices for it as well. So I kind of like the whole, I mean, we're getting some background, we're getting some origin stories and some more character development for one of the characters. I said back in 2015, hey, I want to see a little bit more. We're getting it for Castispella in this episode. I'm not saying it's a 100% perfect episode, but no. I do like that we're getting the backstory of how she ruled this place and how at one point she was taken out and then she got put back into power, etc. So I'm a fan of that.
Yep.
All right, well, let's see some specific moments we liked at this episode as we go for the first time today to the Whispering Woods.
That was a very lovely melody, Bo.
Adora, what are you doing out here?
I'm on my way back to Whispering Woods.
So am I. Why don't we travel together? The road does lead through the dark forest of Mysticora. You'll be better off to have a man with you.
Oh, thank you. I'll feel much safer with you.
And so you should.
Bo and I rode toward the dark forest, unaware of the strange adventure which lay just ahead of us.
All right, so we're in the Whispering Woods talking about the good things about Enchanted Castle. I did like the opening scene. Wow, cool seeing all the girls in the one scene. I'd love to get some episodes on each of them now. So I mean, it was cool seeing them, but I'd like to see more. Flashback episode, the reason it kind of, like I was saying before, it kind of struck me off. The reason that was because to do a flashback episode in the chain of events that we've had so far, because you have Adora as a member of the Horde, then you have the movie, you have her get out of that, she becomes a part of the Rebellion. And it seems like we're still very early on in the Rebellion, and now we're having a flashback to a point when she was already a part of the Rebellion. So yeah. It's like, are we just flashing to last week? Are we flashing to, like... Because if this was, like, this long time ago thing, then she would have been in the Horde.
Yeah.
So it was kind of weird, like, it was just, like, the opening moments of when she was in the Rebellion that we somehow just didn't see, but cast a spell it wasn't around at that point. Because when was the... I don't know when the first time cast a spell it was seen. But if she's seen in any of those original episodes or anything, then there's a problem.
I think the first time she was seen was the dragon, the
right.
left the.
So apparently we're flashing back to before that, which there's not a whole bunch of time to go back to. So that was
right.
I like seeing that they somehow chose to do Rattler and Tongue Lasher because they both have tongues that like hang out of them. So it was an interesting predicament because we have She-Ra, well Adora, with no sword, in a place that she doesn't know. In a way that she can't really, you know, she's not going to be able to get out of there on her own. So that was cool. And then, of course, like I had mentioned before, the reveal that was cast a spell that kind of threw me back a couple steps. So I'll give him credit for me not seeing that coming. What about you?
It's nice to hear Evelyn again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know why that Martella couldn't have just been Evelyn. That would have been a nice, not necessarily a full-on crossover, but a nice little nod.
Or it could have been like a relative or something.
Something, yeah.
Some connection that have the same vocal cords.
I like that we're... Okay, so we've already met Castispella in two previous episodes. I like that she's getting an actual origin here and finding out... We don't exactly... See, this is the only problem. We find out that Martella dethroned her, but we didn't find out the actual, like, how Martella got there, where she really came from, like what, because this doesn't seem like a Horde plot at all. This seems right. like your standard kingdom, good versus evil, you know, Arthur versus Mordred kind of thing. So I wish we had a little bit more on that. I love the end of this episode. You gotta really watch what you say around the magic castle, Bo, because you're gonna get all wet. Oh God! He so deserved a bucket to the head.
Yeah.
Especially. Yeah. Anything else, or shall we get to the fright zone?
No, I think we can get to the fright zone. And first thing I have about the fright zone is Tongue Lasher's tongue might be a bit extreme.
Yeah.
I understand that it's gonna hang out, but that thing's like down to his like belly button. So that was weird. Yeah, like I said, Evelyn's voice 100%. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but I have it down in the fright zone that maybe we don't need to use the exact model of Evelyn for this character and just call her something else. Like I said, the flashback, I like and dislike that. So I don't know. Did she just pull a doorway closed? She like took two parts of the wall and closed them. So what happens then to the other end of the wall? Because if she shut that, then it opened up on another end. And so we got the drawbridge, right?
Yeah.
And we need to put the fire out. The easy solution is to take the drawbridge and set it over the fire. It'll have no oxygen. The fire will go out.
No, because the drawbridge is wood. It'll burn right through it.
Well, but if you do it right away, if you do it like you would do like when you're hitting a fire, like it would have gone out. Instead, they have some weird ass explanation that they're going to somehow use that, which is going to cause a river of water. Like, I understand that you could splash, but putting the drawbridge in there is not going to cause momentum and a stream to go into that building. That was dumb.
Yeah, that was a He-Man move there, folks.
What about you?
You're better off having a man with you. So this show is sexist in both ways, insulting both men and women, because there have been times where the women have insulted the men, specifically Bo, and now we have Bo basically saying that the woman can't do anything unless there's a man around.
Right.
So at least it's an equal opportunity sexist show.
Yeah, pretty much. Anything else?
Bo's such a fraidy cat. God. Ugh. And then, wow, those knights aren't real. Magic, evil magic. Were you not listening 3 fucking seconds ago when the old woman told you the knights are made from the magic of the flame? Bo, you are an idiot.
Yeah, he is.
And what the fuck is Bibble or Bible pie? I'm like, since when do we make pies out of the Bible?
I think it was something else there. I think they've referenced that before at some point. I don't remember what it was, but...
I don't know. What was the PSA in this one?
This is just kindness begets kindness type of thing. Like, kindness will be repaid with other kindness. So you were kind to the old lady, she was kind to you.
Yeah.
Which it works. It works. Do good stuff. Good stuff will happen to you. Maybe. Maybe it won't, but don't think it's a rule, though. No. All right. We're going to take a quick break, then. We're going to be back with our award ceremony for The Enchanted Castle.
Motella's power. She even conjured up her knights out of the magic flames. The fire has allowed her to rule these many years.
Bo, let's split up. We'll lead them away. Stay here. You'll be safe.
All right, so first up, we'll do some horde bats for the Enchanted Castle, if you have any. What do you got?
Bo, of course, Bo.
All right, so Bo gets another horde bat. He's getting a collection.
Ugh. It's not even my goal, but I want to see by the time we get to episode 82, which is the finale for this part of the overall series of the podcast, I want to know who got more Havoc Staffs or who got more Horde Bats, Teela or Bo. Because at this point for me, it's a competition between the two of them to see who's worse. And so far, Bo is honestly winning at this point. What about you? Any horde bats?
No, no horde bats. I just have a protection sword, and that is to cast a spella for saving She-Ra, basically, and for getting to know more about her, and she played a cool role in the episode, so I liked her more than I have in any other episode.
Yeah. Well, it's more than we've seen of her in any other episode.
Pretty much.
I mean, we haven't really... The only times we've seen her before this, it's been in passing, or it's been to... You know, say, oh, hey, welcome to Castle Mysticore. You know, can I take your coat or whatever? So, but yeah, for this episode, I'll give her one as well. Rating?
I am somewhat high on this one. I mean, I think it's an interesting backstory. Maybe it's just because they shocked me with the whole cast of Spella thing. But I liked it. I liked the whole dynamic of who was in charge of that castle and how it kind of came to be. And so I'm going to give this one 4 out of 5.
I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. I enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting. I like seeing Cast a Spell. I like seeing the thing. I just wish the villain was a little bit more fleshed out, more substance, maybe. I don't know.
Fair enough. All right. We're going to take a quick break and be up next with episode 20.
Considering entering, thought I might recite some poetry.
I don't think poetry is quite what they had in mind, Cal. They want to see feats of strength. Or magic tricks.
Well, now, I see. With you two entering, everyone is sure to have a good laugh.
Yes, that's true. Well, now see here, young lady. That's no way to talk to your elders.
And what feats of strength are you going to do, Mr. Cow? Well, from what I hear, when the going gets tough, you get lost.
Why so sad, Madam Raz? This is a day for fun and laughter.
Well, we've just been reminded how useless we are.
Oh, don't be discouraged, my friends. All that matters is that you do your best.
But Madam's tricks never work right, and I have no strength, and...
Remember, the only true strength comes from the heart. So please, come inside. It's time for She-Ra to do her stuff.
Oh, you go on, dearie. Show them your best. I think I'll just go back to camp.
Yeah, me too. I don't feel much like having fun right now.
Madam, Cowl, wait. Maybe it's best to let them work it out for themselves. I'll check on them after the competition.
For the honor of Grayskull!
Right up next today is episode 23, Courageous Hearts. Air date of October 3rd, 1985, written by Philip Castle. Robert Lamb helped on the teleplay again. At Mysticore's annual trickster competition, Shadow Weaver appears disguised as a young girl. By tricking the rebels with her assumed identity, she sends She-Ra into the sixth dimension, a place from which no one has ever returned from. The only ones on hand to do the rescuing are Cowl, Madam Raz, and Broom. And they must overcome their fears if they're going to ever see She-Ra or their other friends again. We have Shadow Weaver and a few Horde troopers. We have She-Ra, Bo, Castaspella, Madam Raz, Supertina, Cowl, Broom. Some other people are seen but don't talk. And then we have Celisticar and the Librarian as far as other characters. So what do you think? We're still in Mysticore, just like last episode. So we stopped some gatherings in episode 19. They're gathered again in episode 20 for this trickster competition. And then the whole idea that She-Ra is cast into the sixth dimension and a prisoner of this Celisticar character. What do you think?
I just watched the episode. I didn't even look at the description or anything else. I'm like, who the hell is that guy? Where'd he come from? You know, it's like...
Little devil dude.
If he's a little bit more redder, yeah, I could see that. Usually when they... I think I complained about it when we did the He-Man show, but normally when they have a one-off character like this, they would introduce him like, oh, I'm secretly working for Skeletor. Oh, I'm this, or oh, I'm that. And no, this is just a devil dude trying to, you know...
Keep her working. He finally has someone to play with, so he's going to try to keep her there.
Oh, God. So, essentially, this is the hell of Never Never Land, right?
Yeah.
God. I like this one. I thought this was interesting. I didn't know right away, but as soon as she did her breathe in where she stops, I knew the little girl was Shadow Weaver. I didn't know, like, right away. I kind of figured because, oh, it's red and it kind of sounds like her. But until she took that breath in, I was like, oh, yep, that's Shadow Weaver, all right.
Yeah.
I like that we have a focus on the three sidekicks for them all. I see Madam Raz and Broom as one team, and Cowl's normally with Bo, but, I mean... As three sidekick characters, I think they're all really, really well done here. And it just, Madam Raz and Broom, oh God, though, I could watch an entire series, an entire comedy series with the two of them. That would just be amazing.
Yeah, I could definitely see that as well.
Like the Honeymooners of Etheria or something.
Ouch.
No, I mean, you know, like being serious, because if you look at Madam Raz and Broom, how Lou Scheimer did the Broom voice, it kind of sounds like Jackie a little bit in certain tones.
All right, before we go down too far on this trail, let's make our way to the Whispering Woods up next.
Where am I? Well, I hope this is the way out.
I have to time my leap to get past those force beams.
You see? We must cross the freezing mountains before we can reach the valley. It's so far away.
Oh, come, come, dearie. We've already been through this. We're the only ones left to save She-Ra.
But we are such little creatures, and so...
Weak? Is that the word you were looking for?
Well, yes. Who are we fooling? We can't save anyone. We have no strength.
Remember what Adora told us? True strength comes from the heart. Now, if we believe in ourselves, we can do it.
Well, I believe in us.
Good, so do I. Cowell?
Well, I suppose I believe in us, too. Maybe.
Then let's go. Time's a-wasting.
All right, we're at the Whispering Woods for Three Courageous Hearts. What do you got? Good things about this episode.
I can lead you, Crash. Poor madam. Yeah. I love madam.
Not off to a good start there.
No. Like I said, spotlighting the other characters, it was a nice blend the whole episode, between them trying to get to the Library of the Lost and She-Ra trying to break free. I thought that was awesome. She-Ra has the line with the ghosts, "Come on in, the water is fine."
Yeah.
And then Broom. Broom has the line of the show. Adam's pretty ancient herself. I heard that. Just love Broom. What do you got?
A couple different things here on this one. Not a lot as I've had with some of the previous episodes, but I thought it was interesting to have this one back-to-back with the last episode. Mm-hmm. With both being a mystic horror. So I like the premise of this, and I like Shadow Weaver taking a page out of Evil Lynn's book and just kind of doing the whole disguise thing. But other than that, it was a pretty basic episode for me. Nothing too much stood out. What about bad moments? What about Fright Zone moments for you?
Fright Zone moments. So I now pay for Hulu at this point, so I'm paying $12 a month for ad-free. So I no longer have the ad breaks, but they still show where a break should be.
Okay.
And one of the times where it should be is right as soon as she finishes off the three ghosts and she fades into the waterfall as the fade out. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, cause we see her in this underground river thing, whatever the hell it is. We see her get out. We see her walk behind the waterfall.
Right.
And then, because she has to do the little pipe, all that other crap, and we see her standing in the waterfall, getting out the ghost, and then as the thing goes to a potential commercial break, she just fades into the water without even any explanation whatsoever of stepping up onto the ledge or anything like that. So that was a little weird. I already mentioned the villain. I'm like, who? Who the hell is that?
Right.
Sword count turn to whatever the hell. I think it's count 5 at this point. At least this time it was useful. I mean, at least this time it was useful. So there's that. What about you?
Just a couple. Well, just one thing, really. How is it fair that She-Ra is in the competition? I understand that they all have some powers and stuff like that, but She-Ra being in the competition, that's not fair. Come on, guys. The PSA is all about courage, because obviously we got, you know, the main three there with Madame Raz, Cowell, and Broom having to find courage to save the day for the most part. So what did you think of that, and then kind of how it wrapped up with the whole episode?
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was great. I mean, that's another lesson that, you know, pertains to the actual storyline of the episode, unlike last week. You know, I think that's great. Again, I think it's great that they're spotlighting these three characters, because I don't remember them doing too many Madam and Broom and Cowell specific episodes.
No.
I mean, you know, usually they're, you know, support, you know, hero support or whatever you want to call it for She-Ra, and sometimes Bow and Glimmer and whatever else. I will say about this one really quickly before we close it out is, or before we get to awards is, you said in the beginning we see some other characters that don't speak. Yeah, that's true. I was kind of surprised that we saw Queen Angela. Because it just doesn't seem like something. Like, we haven't gotten enough with her.
Right.
To really get a feel of what her royal duties are in Etheria, because the whole point of it is rebellion versus the Horde.
Yeah, you'd think we'd see more of her, but.
Yeah, you'd think.
So far, not so much.
No. So, yeah.
All right, well, then we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with some more awards.
Well, all we have to do is get down.
The polar beast. Madam, there's a spell, a spell!
Dearie my, Razzle Dazzle, Dazzle Zed, what we need now is a big wide bed! Oh, dearie my, no, it wasn't bed that I wanted. Oh, what was it?
Sled, madam, sled! Not bed!
Never mind about the bed. Look what's coming.
Oh, no! The end of the road!
Hang on!
What a ride! It's a good thing we had this soft mattress to land on.
See? A bed was a much better choice than a sled.
Yes, madam.
All right, it's award time for the three courageous hearts. Any Horbats?
She-Ra.
She-Ra? What for, say you?
Even though it was useful, I'm really getting sick of the sword turning into whatever the hell.
I don't mind it as long as it's not a helmet again.
I don't think we'll have that problem.
Any other Horbats?
No.
How about protection swords? I got the little people. I'm giving them to Madame Raz, Broom, Cowl. Because, they were all...
Yeah, that's pretty much what I had down. All three of them. Yep. One for each.
All right, so that makes sense there. And what about an actual rating?
I'll give it a 4 out of 5. Only because of the focus on the main characters. I almost gave it a 5 out of 5, and then I'm like, no, it's great. It's a good episode. It's not a great episode.
Well, I think we'll just flip-flop because you were 3 and I was 4 on the last one. You are 4 and I am 3 on this one. So just going to give it a 3. It didn't really stand out too much. It was a little better than maybe just your basic episode, but not by much. So 3 Crystal Castles out of 5 for me, which means it's time for another break before we get into our last episode for today. Episode 21 coming up, The Stone in the Sword.
Sorry, your high and mightiness.
Please, great maestro, not that. Oh, have mercy.
It's my vacuum cleaner attachment, you pea brain!
You sure scared me. For a moment there, I was afraid you were going to
do this!
All right, last one up today is episode 21, The Stone in the Sword, air date October 4th, 1985, written by Michael Chane. The stone in Adora's sword is broken while she is She-Ra. Once the stone is broken, she is changed back into Adora. She has to figure out how to get to Lighthope without Swiftwind in order to get her sword fixed and be able to go back to She-Ra. Meanwhile, Hordak has captured Bo. So we have Hordak, Shadow Weaver, and Grizzlor. We have She-Ra, Bo, Glimmer, Cowl, Sprocker, and Light Hope, and we also see the first ones. So what do you think about the whole idea that the sword is broken and the quest to fix it?
So, a while ago.
Yes?
I would say 2009.
Your sword was broken.
No.
Oh.
I don't usually use my sword half the time, but anyway, it's a discussion for another day, for another person. Anyway, about 6 years ago was the last time I saw this episode. Somebody had mentioned something about that this was one of their top favorite episodes of the entire series, and it was when it was nothing but Adora, because so I'm like, okay, I had to check it out. So I checked it out, and so I had seen this one before, so I kind of remember this one. Honestly, after rewatching this, this might be the best episode for Adora slash She-Ra characterization of the entire series.
Yeah, I can see that. So far, at least from what we've seen, it definitely. I mean, she's had a couple instances now within this episode, and then back in the end of 2015 when we were talking about the other episode where she's not able to become She-Ra because the sword is taken from her, or because she lost her voice, or now because the sword is broken. So we have gotten a little of it. This one might have done it the best. I can see that.
Absolutely. No, I absolutely love this one. I think it's great. I think it's a really cool episode. Just some of the stuff that Hordak comes up with, it's a hell of a lot. It's almost better than half the plans Skeletor came up with. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Although some of the stuff he turns into is...
Well, okay, well, yeah, some of the stuff he turns into, yes. I'm saying some of the plans that he come, like the Doom Balloon, the fact that he's going to harness energy and fire it back at them, that's pretty ingenious on his part.
It's not bad. Yeah, I'm with this one. I think it's a decent setup. Again, anytime that you're not able to just go to your go-to thing of I'll be She-Ra and save the day, especially since it happened while she was She-Ra, so she doesn't even know why she became Adora, and then she's trying to lift the sword and call it again and trying to figure out what happened. So I like a lot of that. So I think this had a lot of potential. It just comes down to execution, and we're going to have to see how they executed it as we make our way to the Whispering Woods. So for the final time today, we visit Whispering Woods. What are the things that made you like this episode the most?
The Doom Balloon. That was kind of awesome. Especially how it got wrecked. Seeing how it got wrecked was really cool. I didn't know the Horde had tongue twisters. Like you said, having the sword be cracked and having her not be able to change and finding a way to... What I liked about this one is they didn't just find a way to get the sorceress there from Eternia. They had to find a way on Etheria for her to get her powers back. And it basically gives her a test of character, test of whatever. The coolest thing about this, and I don't know how often we see this area of Etheria, but we get to see the Etherian underworld. That's awesome. I thought that was really good. And then Shira's line, is this how you get girls to fall for you, Hordak?
The whole pose for that was pretty good, too.
She's laying there like a pinup doll.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. What do you got?
I got a couple things here. Number one, I love seeing the little good luck charm that Hordak has, the Horde Trooper figure. That was interesting. I like that there's actually some success as far as Glimmer gets hit with a stun ray, She-Ra gets hit, Bo gets taken captive, so it's not just the constant, we're going to fire lasers at you that never hit you. So I like the fact
it's not G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I like the fact that some people actually got stunned with stuff, and it looked like Glimmer got hit pretty hard. You know, the whole, like we said, the stone and the sword idea and how it's damaged, so we're going to have to figure something else out that added a little twist to it, so I like that. A Light Hope appearance and being able to see Crystal Castle, I might get more into that later, but just the idea that, you know, we see what that is or where that is. They also had some cool music, which I don't usually notice, but on the Horde scene when they went back to the Fright Zone, there was some interesting music going on there. I liked it. And just the whole premise of a series of challenges that she now has to go through to get the sword fixed.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as Fright Zone moments, I'm going to bounce off right away because I also, you had it in the Whispering Woods moment, but I have the Doom Balloon in the Fright Zone moment. Is that really what we're going to call it, the Doom Balloon? I mean, I guess it's a hot air balloon, but man, that was kind of cheesy. Hordak has a vacuum cleaner attachment.
Hordak has an everything attachment. I mean,
why does he need a vacuum cleaner attachment? I like how all of a sudden now he says, isn't Horde science wonderful? When a couple episodes he was making fun of Skeletor because of his science. So maybe not the most consistent villain.
No, here. It is consistent. He was making fun of Skeletor for his sorcery.
Oh, okay. I must have misheard his line then. And I thought it was supposed to be hard to get into the Crystal Castle.
I don't know what the rules are for the Crystal Castle, because we've never, until this episode, we've never...
But Cowl says, even if you get up there, how are you going to get in? It's hard to get in. You need the sword. You need to be She-Ra or something like that. And she just holds the sword and is like, yo, I'm here. And they're just like, okay, cool. I don't know. I really felt this episode needed to be a two-part episode. Mm-hmm. Like, there was too much to try to do. And, like, it's like, they finally get to the point where it's like, you got to go through a series of challenges. And I'm looking at the clock, and there's, like, 5 minutes left in the episode. Like, so they're just going to rush through this somehow? Mm-hmm. And then, Light Hope, he talks to Adora, and he says, I must leave you now. And then as soon as the next challenge is done, he's there again. It's like, I thought you had to leave, like, she was on her own the rest of the way, not just for a little bit. He kept coming back. And I guess this goes to having to rush the episode, but wasn't that maze supposed to be the impossible maze? Yeah. It showed no element of that being hard. It just shows her walking and then eventually coming to the end. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of think Light Hope is underwhelming. Same problem I have with Horde Prime here. It's just a rainbow colors. Like, I would take the Sorceress over Light Hope any day. So, I mean, the Crystal Castle was cool and all, but I just was a little let down. I was expecting something better out of the whole Light Hope and Crystal Castle angle, and I was just like, that's really, eh. I don't know. What about you?
So far, the entire series to this point, we only see Light Hope in the intro.
Right.
That he is one of the quote-unquote people.
I didn't realize it was a him, first of all.
Whatever.
I didn't until this episode.
Okay, well, whatever.
I thought it was going to be a female, and all of a sudden a dude starts talking. I'm like, whoa.
Maybe it's a... Never mind. So here's the thing. We're, 21 episodes in?
Something like that.
We've only ever seen the whole Light Hope thing in the intro. We've never been to the Crystal Castle before, to my knowledge. If we have, I don't remember it. This is the first time we've actually been outside the gates of the Crystal Castle. Yes, we see it in the transitions all the time, whatever. That's part of the whole She-Ra Adora thing, whatever. But I figured by now in the series we'd get some sort of explanation on Light Hope, other than it's a mystical guardian of the Crystal Castle. They make it sound as if She-Ra has been to the castle before, yet so far we have never seen anything to confirm this.
Yeah. You'd think she'd have to visit it more often. Like, you know, obviously we saw He-Man having to visit the Sorceress all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what part Light Hope plays in this. So it was just kind of weird for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, any other Fright Zone moments for you?
Nope.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. The PSA, by the way, was stick-to-itiveness. I don't know. They made up a word. But
let's just go to break.
All right. We'll be back with our last session of Hardware. All right, last chance to give out some hardware. I have one horde bat to give. And that'll be to Kyle. I'm giving a horde bat to Kyle because he was way too negative Nancy in this episode.
Yes, he was.
Stop trying to put Shira down or Adore down. And that, you know, you need to build her up. She's on a mission, so just help her.
Yep.
What about you?
I agree. Kyle, horde bat, yep.
All right.
Just,
oh, any protection swords you want to give out?
Adora, for essentially adapting to not being able to use her Autobot Matrix of Leadership and become She-Ra. So there's that. What about you on the ratings?
Oh, well, I still have... let me give out my protection sword, oh. Jackass. I also have a protection sword to give out, and that would be to Adora as well. So we'll be likewise on both the Horde Bat and the protection sword. So you, sir, how is your Crystal Castle rating for this episode?
I gotta give it a 4 out of 5. I was gonna give it a 5 out of 5, but the whole lack of explanation on Light Hope or anything like that, and just, yeah, 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5 for you? The world is ending because I'm also at 4 on this one. like I said, if I hadn't been so underwhelmed by Light Hope and the Crystal Castle, I would have probably upped it a little bit, but it let me down a little bit, so I'm going to go down to a 4. And still positive, as we have been for most of today's episodes, for sure. So we're going to take one last break, and we'll be back to wrap up this episode.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Yay! Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Hi, my name is Dr. Andrea Letamendi, clinical psychologist.
And I'm Brian Ward, nerd. And we want to invite you to listen to our new podcast, The Arkham Sessions.
It's a podcast dedicated to the fun
and geeky
analysis of Batman the Animated Series, episode by episode.
We pay tribute to the writers and the stories of the animated series,
while also exploring the very real psychology behind Gotham's rogues.
And maybe even its heroes. All of this and more
each week
on The Arkham Sessions
at underthemaskonline.com.
All right, sir, our first episodes of 2016, you've given out a couple 4s and a 3, as have I. Still somewhat positive. You know, back in 2015, we asked a little bit about getting some more in-depthness or some character development, etc. We got a little bit of Cast of Spella. We got a little bit of Adora. We had one episode focusing on the little people. How are you feeling as we start this year?
I'm feeling positive. I'm not too sure where this whole Light Hope thing is going to go. I think... having Madame Raz and Broom, or Madame Raz and Cowl, be the confidence was more than enough. We don't need some abstract rainbow looking Discord sounding dude. We just don't. I don't know.
All right.
It's just one of those things where it's like, it would have been nice if they'd already introduced a thing and we had some sort of, like, they just throw it in there. It's like the He-Man Eternity War comic that they're doing right now over at DC. They're developing the story for Adora and She-Ra and all this and all that and everything else. And part of a recent issue was she had a dream where she saw the Crystal Castle for the first time in the series and she heard Light Hope. So I assume in the comic now they're going to give some sort of explanation. Like, that's what we needed here. We needed some sort of introduction, some sort of explanation. I mean, it's fine for Cast a Spell to show up a couple of times and we not have an explanation for her yet, which we've gotten at this point now. But the whole thing with Light Hope, it just, it's too fucking weird.
Yeah, I mean, I agree to a point. I mean, it's not, I'm not going to dwell on it too much because I don't even know how much they're going to interact with Light Hope. But I don't know. For now, I'm fine with the episodes we've got. We've been pretty positive as of the last, you know, couple episodes. So, mm-hmm. Again, let's see some more characters, though.
Yep. Thank you for listening to The Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Leave us feedback in iTunes. You can call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Follow us on Twitter, at geekcastradio is the network Twitter. Pal of Grayskull is the show Twitter. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We hope you enjoyed The Mist today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes, The Crystal Castle, The Crown of Knowledge, and The Mines of Mondor.
I think that's in The Lord of the Rings.
No, that's Mordor. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
the one and only Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.
Joke, but this time I'm going to have the last laugh.